Malachi chapter number 3 this morning, Malachi chapter number 3, and the last book of the Old Testament there, right before the book of Matthew, not hard to find. Open your Bible up there, and Malachi chapter number 3. And this morning, I'm going to preach something that I preached about 8 years ago, and I don't do that very often, but occasionally the Lord wakes me up and tells me that's what he wants me to do, and he did. So I had to look for it, and I found it, and I'm going to preach this morning. And there are a lot of messages that you could preach out of this text, and I preached a lot of messages out of this text. But this morning, you're here by divine appointment if you're here, because God absolutely wanted this message to be preached this morning. So if you found Malachi chapter 3, say amen, and I'll know you're there. Amen. All right, it's not hard to find. Malachi 3, verse number 1, the Bible says this: "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he's like a refiner's fire, and like a fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against the false swears, and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have ye robbed me? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, and neither shall your vine cast forth her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be the delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." Now we're going to take our text out of there in verse number 10. And it's talking about tithing here, but I want to get our title from the middle of the verse. But let's read the verse. It says, "Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven." I want to preach on this thought this morning of opening the windows of heaven. Opening the windows of heaven. And boy, I'll tell you, when God's windows open up from heaven, there's no telling the blessings that you can receive from God Almighty. Amen. And if we could do anything in our life in the new year, it's a new year. I don't know about you, I want to be blessed in the new year. I want God to work in my life. I want the windows of heaven to be opened, amen, and to receive something from the Lord. The sad thing is when people hold the window shut, amen. Or when you ever seen someone nail a window or paints a window shut? Man, I've lived in old houses before, I'm telling you, where you can't get the windows open. We lived in houses in the Parsonage. We first came here to the Parsonage. All the windows were screwed shut, and the air conditioning didn't work. And I thought to myself, my goodness, we got to open the windows, right? Get something moving inside of here. And boy, spiritually speaking, that's true. You say, what do you got to do? You got to get the windows of heaven open. Get the windows of heaven open so God can pour you down a blessing. So let's pray and let's ask God's blessing on the word this morning. Father, we are so thankful for the word. And God, I do pray that you'd bless it. And God, as we, Lord, begin this new year, and Lord, as we want to start it out right, and God, with the windows of heaven being opened, and God, if there's one here today, Lord, and God, they don't have your blessings on their life. Maybe there's some folks here today, I don't know. Lord, you know everyone that's here. You know what's going on in our lives. And God, I pray that, God, that, Lord, that you would work and move, Lord Jesus, and speak to hearts this morning, and God, that your blessings could flow, that we could get under the spout where the glory comes out, and God, that we could receive, God, the good things that you have for us. Father, I pray the Holy Spirit would speak now. They're being lost, undone in their sin. May their heart be convicted. May the child of God be challenged this morning. And God, may you just bless your word. Guide my heart and lips, I pray. And Father, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this morning as I preach on this thought of opening the windows of heaven, opening the windows of heaven. You know, many times throughout the Bible, God would open the windows of heaven. The first time you hear this mentioned is in the book of Genesis, in Noah's day, when God opened the windows of heaven. You say, what happened? Well, God flooded the earth. He destroyed the world. But the Bible says in the book of 1 Peter that Noah and his family were saved by the water. And that is, they rode on top of the water. That's true. And because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God opened the windows of heaven towards Noah and towards his family, and he got a blessing. No doubt about it. In Daniel's day, God opened the windows of heaven and allowed Daniel to see the future. What we're doing today is what Daniel prophesied about in Daniel chapter 9 and 10. He saw the future. We're living the future. He saw the future because God opened the windows of heaven. At the baptism of Christ, God opened the windows of heaven and the Holy Spirit came down like a dove and they heard a voice from heaven. You say, what was that? The windows of heaven. At the transfiguration in Luke chapter 9 and verse 28, when Jesus Christ was transfigured and Moses and Elijah stood next to him, and the glorious appearing of their heavenly body, and then that voice that came from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son; hear ye him." And it was a marvelous thing because God had opened the windows of heaven, and God's glory had come down on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost came down as a mighty rushing wind, and the Bible says that they were filled with the Spirit of God, and they spake with cloven tongues as a fire upon their heads, and it was an amazing thing when God opens the windows of heaven. When Stephen was stoned, God opened the windows of heaven, and he said, I see Jesus standing at the throne of God. And this is what he said. He said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Can you imagine for God to open the windows of heaven and you see what's taking place up there? That would be an amazing thing. Three times in Paul's life, the Apostle Paul, God opened the windows of heaven. When Paul was on the Damascus Road and he had warrants in his hand to kill Christians, and God opened the windows of heaven, and the Bible said that the light was so bright that it outshone the brightness of the sun. That's a bright light. Can you imagine how bright it is in heaven? The Bible says that there's no darkness there. The Bible says there's no night there, and that Jesus Christ is the light of heaven. Amen. Thank God for that. And God opened the windows of heaven, and it was so bright that the Apostle Paul was blinded. It was an amazing thing that God did in his life. And of course, he saw Jesus Christ, and God did a work in his life and called him to preach. And he wrote 14 books of the New Testament. Man, when God opens the windows of heaven, exciting things happen. And God did that for the Apostle Paul, and thank God that he did. And God continued throughout the New Testament to open the windows of heaven to the apostles. John the Revelator. God opened the windows of heaven. Look in Revelation chapter number 4. And he allowed him to see the end of time. He allowed him to see heaven. He allowed him to see the future events. In Revelation 4 and verse number 1, this is what the Bible says. "And after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, and he said, 'Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter.'" You ever see, what's it going to be like when Jesus comes? He's going to sound the trumpet, and we're going to hear the voice saying, "Come up hither." Come on up here. And we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. We're going to be taken up to heaven one day, and what is commonly known as the rapture of the church. Hallelujah for that. But God's going to open the door. He's going to open the windows. And what a day that's going to be. And it says immediately. How quickly is it going to happen? Immediately. When Jesus Christ comes, the child of God is going to be caught up. The Bible says in the moment and the twinkling of an eye. "Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, there was a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that was sat was to look upon like jasper and sardine in stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, and the sight of an emerald, and round about the throne there were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold." Look in verse number 10 and 11. "And the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worshipped him that lived forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, 'Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, for Thy pleasure they are and were created.'" Man, when God opens the windows of heaven, the glory of God comes down. don't know about you, in my life, I want to open the windows of heaven. I don't want to nail the window shut. I don't want to put screws in the window. I don't want to hold the windows down. And so many times, people's lives are so, they go so unblessed because they're holding the windows down. Hey, you got to get the windows up. Get the windows up. Open the windows in your life so that God can do that. Now, these were both literal and spiritual events that I've spoken of this morning in a way of introduction. And it happened in the lives of those who follow the Lord. But the question is, how do you get the windows open? This is the 21st century. It's not the first century. It's the 21st century. How is God going to work in your life? And how is God going to work in my life? I think it's very clear that God wants to work in our lives. In John 14, this is what Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, he shall do also. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if he shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." What's that tell you? God did some wonderful things in his day. Why can't he do some wonderful things in our day? Well, I believe that God can do some wonderful things in our day. But what do you got to do? You got to get the windows of heaven open. You got to open the windows. And again, you do that by believing and having faith in God. The Bible says, "Fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." God wants to open the windows of heaven. But it begins with, we're going to look at a few simple things here this morning. And the first one is this. It begins by opening our hearts in church to Christ. You realize if God's going to open the windows, we have to open our hearts and our church to Him. We were just there in Revelation 3 and in verse number 20. The Lord comes to the church, and this is what He says. And it's sad. The Laodicean church is a picture. We live in the Laodicean church age, and what happened in the Laodicean church age is what's happening, or churches, what happens is happening now. And this is what God said: "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as also I overcame and have set down with my Father in his throne. He hath every ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto churches." See, God wants to speak to us. He wants to share fellowship. He wants to save the lost. He wants the saints to serve him. See, there's two things we got to do to get the windows of heaven open. And I think it's very simple. You know, we can do one of two things. If we want the windows of heaven open, we can throw open the door. Or we can shut him out and say no completely in our life. You know, when God's speaking to you, there's two answers that when you're talking to God. You can say, "Yes, Lord," or you can say, "No, Lord." Do people say, "No, Lord"? Remember Cain? Before Cain killed his brother Abel, God came to Cain in Genesis chapter number 4. And God came to Cain, he says, "Cain," he says, "sin's lying at the door, son. You got a problem in your life, and you need to deal with your situation." He said, "If you do good, you'll be accepted." He said, "Cain, if you turn from your sin and you hear what I'm telling you, you'll be accepted, and I'll pour you down a blessing like I did for your brother Abel." Abel received the blessing. God accepted his offering. But Cain was wroth, and his countenance fell. You know what Cain said to God? Cain said, "Hey, I don't want what you got. I don't want your blessings." You know what Cain did? He went out and killed his brother Abel. And what Cain did was he brought down a curse upon his life, and he closed the windows of heaven upon his own soul. What a sad thing that is. But you know, there's a lot of Cains in the world today. As a preacher, I talk to a lot of people and try and tell them how that their life can be different and how God can bless their lives and how God can do things in their lives. And many times, you know what they do? They turn away from those very things that God wants to do for them, and they bring down a curse upon their life. Cain brought down the curse upon his life. And that's why the Bible says, "Harden not your hearts. Resist not the Holy Ghost." Hey, when God begins to speak to you, you need to do business. Cain said, "I don't want to talk about it." You know, many times I tell people, I say, "Hey, can I talk to you for a minute?" I said, "Preacher, I don't want to talk." I said, "Why not?" I said, "We need to talk. I don't want to talk about it." You know what that tells me right there? That they're driving the nails in the window. They're driving the nails in the window frame. They're painting the window shut. Hey, there's some things you need to talk about sometimes. Sometimes you need to talk about your sin. Sometimes you need to talk about your situation of life. See, sometimes you need to be talking about the shortcomings that you have. I was talking to a man one time, and he was a Christian man. He loved Jesus Christ. He was an insurance salesman and was up in northern Ohio, and I had good friends with him. We'd gone out many times with him. He bought my lunch, and we had fellowshipped and been in these meetings together, and I went up to this church for 4 or 5 years and preached meetings there, and he would always come over to the meeting when I was there. And I said, brother, I said, when are you going to get in church and join a church somewhere? He said, Brother Chris, I just don't want to talk about it. I said, brother, we need to talk about it. I've been coming up here for 5 years, and you're still not a member of any church. You're still not going anywhere regular. You're still not where you need to be. He said, I told you, Brother Chris, I don't want to talk about it. I said, that's your whole problem. We need to talk about it. I thought, my goodness, what is wrong with you, brother? I mean, you go out and witness, you knock on doors, but how do you invite people to come to church when you don't go yourself? How do you do that? Where are you going to recommend them? If you don't believe in the church, my goodness, why should anyone else go themselves? It's hypocrisy. It's amazing to me how many people, the hypocrisy that they have in their lives. And hypocrisy nails the window shut when it comes to God's blessings. Man, sometimes you got to open your heart to Christ. We got to open our church to Christ. Christ so many times, He's on the outside trying to get in, trying to speak to us. He's on the outside. Hey, open your heart. I'm trying to talk to you. Open your ears. Hear what I got to say. And we close the windows of heaven. Let me tell you, we'll never be blessed in the ministry, in our marriages, in our money, and anything till we open the windows of heaven. There's some things we got to talk about. Sometimes we need to talk about sin. Sometimes we need to talk about self-righteousness. Sometimes we need to talk about salvation. Sometimes we need to talk about service. Sometimes we need to talk about selfishness in our lives. Are those hard conversations? Let me tell you something. Those are hard conversations. How many times you talk to a sinner about being born again and being saved? And say, preacher, I don't want to talk about that. I've tried to talk to family members about being saved and going to heaven and escaping hell. And they say, well, I don't really want to talk about that. I'm thinking, my goodness, we need to talk about that. You're going to hell. You know why Cain went to hell? Because he didn't want to talk about it. That's why he murdered his brother. He didn't want to talk about it. Let me tell you, there are a lot of painful things that we need to talk about. We sing that little song, just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Hallelujah for that. But I'll tell you, you've got to open your heart. And sometimes it's hard to open your heart, is it not? It's hard to open your heart to Jesus Christ when He's on the outside, knocking. You know, it's kind of like the church member, they ain't been in church for 6 weeks, and the preacher's knocking on the door, and they're looking through the peephole, and they're saying, oh, no, I don't want to talk to him. Let's turn the lights out and be quiet, right? You say, do people really do that? Of course they do that. You hear them move around inside, and, nobody's home, preacher. I say, come on, I know you're in there. Open the door. You see, Jesus Christ is the same way. You know what He's trying to do this morning? He's trying to open the windows of heaven. But to do that, you got to have a little talk with Jesus. You got to open your heart first before God opens the windows of heaven. Can we look at the second thing this morning when it comes to, hey, you want God's blessing, you want the windows of heaven to be open? Well, it begins with opening your heart and, of course, opening our church to Jesus Christ. But the second thing is simply this, offense has to be cast out. You understand sin has got to be cast out? I mean, in our text here, when Jesus Christ in Malachi chapter number 3, he says, hey, I'm sitting as a refiner's fire. And he begins to speak to the fathers. He begins to speak to the ministers and says, hey, he begins to bring the accusation of against them of the sin that they have in their lives and how they oppress the widow and the fatherless and the stranger and that the sin that they had and that those things had to be cast out if God was going to open the windows of heaven. You see, God can't look on sin and God will never bless sin. And John the Baptist, that's what it speaks of here. And Malachi 3 is a prophecy of John the Baptist in Matthew chapter number 3. If you look in Matthew chapter number 3, when Jesus Christ came, or when John the Baptist came, the Bible says he came preaching in the wilderness. But I want you to notice what his preaching was. And Matthew 3 and verse 1, it says, in those days John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able these stones to raise up children to Abraham. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. I indeed baptize with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me, who is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. He will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into his garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. You say, what's he doing? He's preaching, telling these people, repent. Turn from your sin. Get the sin out of your life. People say, well, preacher, I want to be blessed. Well, how can you? The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You got to get sin out of your heart, sin out of your life. And we live in such a sinful society in the day in which we live, do we not? I mean, you think of all the evil things that are taking place all across this nation. Just had that shooting down there in Fort Lauderdale. Just had those four people that tortured that poor, disabled, what happened in Chicago? You say, has our nation become that evil? Yes, our nation has become that evil. Sin abounds. It's everywhere you look the day in which we live. And the sad thing is, it's even in the churches. It's even in the churches. If you look in Isaiah 59, and of course Isaiah was the prophet to Israel. He's one of the major prophets. And this is what God said about his own people. What God said at that time, the people of Israel let so much sin in their lives. It says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Verse 1, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue have muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vain, they speak lies, they conceive mischief, they bring forth iniquity. I mean, look at the accusation that he puts on them. He says, verse 7, it says, their feet run to do evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace there's not known. There's no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Well, we live in an evil day, do we not? Pornography, filthy language, cigarettes, alcohol, drugs, adultery, fornication, hatred, lust, greed, pride, gossip, envy, jealousy. Boy, that hit just about everybody, doesn't it? All the filth on Facebook. And boy, there ain't nothing but filth on Facebook. Now, you know I'm not on Facebook. That's why I preach against it. But I'll tell you what. You say, is there some good on there? Sure, nothing's evil of itself. But there's a whole lot of filth on it. And there's been a whole lot of adultery practiced because of it. When the mega churches ban Facebook and social media from their staff because they're committing adultery, what does that tell you? But see, people today think, well, so I'm committing adultery. What does that matter? So I'm hung up on pornography. What does that matter? Can I still sing in the choir? You know, hey, so I stole a little bit. Can I still be a Sunday school teacher? So I'm a liar. So I'm a gossiper. So I'm a backbiter. Hey, so I'm all these things. I mean, can I still serve in the church? You see, that's why Jesus Christ is on the outside, not on the inside. Because sin has got to be taken care of. And see, the more we sin, the more God closes the windows of heaven. You want God's blessings, you've got to get sin out of your life. I can't tell you how many times I've sat at my desk and talked someone across the desk and said, hey, you, what about this problem? What about this? And what about this? Well, God understands. No, he doesn't. God does not understand lust and pornography and filth and degradation and adultery and fornication and you whatever else you want to name here this morning. God doesn't understand it. God doesn't understand greed and pride and gossip and backbiting. No, he doesn't understand it. And that's why we've lost the blessings. That's why we've lost God's touch in our lives in the day in which we live. People say, well, preacher, I ain't going to listen to that. That's the whole problem. Can you imagine if we could resurrect Lester Roloff and let him come preach this morning? Lester Roloff was our hero. But I guarantee you, if Lester Roloff, we resurrected him from the dead and he stood before that pulpit, we'd all be leaving or we'd be going to that altar. Lester Roloff used to preach, man, if you get the newspaper, you're a devil. What would he think about Fox News? I mean, what would he think about Comcast Cable? What would he think about, I mean, what would these guys who have gone, what would they think about how Christians live today? It's sad in a Christian nation that the pornography industry would be a billion, almost trillion dollar industry in America. They had a little thing, Kingdom Tapes did, and I went to it. And they invited the pastors and workers to go up there, and I went. And they were talking about this thing, and a guy had this thing on pornography, and he said, you know, one of the number one things that's killing our churches today is pornography with the men in the church. Pornography on their phones, pornography on their social media, pornography. And he said, we've made these tapes to help the men in the church deal with their pornography problem. And I thought to myself, these are all pastors. These are all Christian workers they're talking to. This is supposed to be people that aren't having this problem. And he says, preacher, you need to take these and put them out in your church and don't tell the men what they are, because if you announce it, none of the wives will let them have it, because they'll have to admit that they got a problem. And he said, get these DVDs and just pass them out. Have your men pass them out to all the men as they go out the door and ask them to watch it or listen to it. And I thought to myself, is that how bad we are in America now? Is that what we've come to in America? Well, we got that kind of sin in the church. A man told me, and it was sad, it was my uncle. And he had no respect for the Baptist church, none. He said, Chris, he just needed to get saved. Uncle John needs to get saved in the worst way. He said, I've been holiness. I've been Church of God. I've been Baptist. I've been Greek Orthodox. And now he's Hindu, right? He said, I know what these are about. And I said, well, what? I said, John, Uncle John, tell me what the Baptists are about. He said, the Baptists are about fornicating and committing adultery in the church. I said, and why is that, Uncle John? He said, well, I went out there to, remember, Landmark Baptist Temple, John Rawlins. He went out to their church and got propositioned 3 or 4 times. And he was married and had a ring on. And I thought to myself, that is not what the Baptist church is all about. That might be what religion is all about, but I'll tell you right now, that is not what being saved and born again and walking with Jesus Christ is all about, Uncle John. You say, man, that's tough preaching, Brother Chris. It's tough because that's the kind of things that are going on in the churches. And it's sad. If God's ever going to come back into the church and send a nationwide revival or a citywide revival or hallelujah, even a church revival, sin's going to have to be got out of the way. You say, what happens when all that stuff goes? What happens when they in the Old Testament, when they cleansed the temple, every filthy thing had to be removed? Can you imagine if we got every filthy thing out of our heart and our homes and the house of God, how things would change? Think we'd have revival. Remember in John chapter 2 when Jesus went down to the temple? Look in John chapter. How did Jesus find the temple when he went down there? You know, Jesus cleansed the temple twice. After he cleansed it the first time, they went right back to doing the same thing. And John chapter number 2, Jesus goes down to the temple, and notice what they're doing there. and verse number 13, and the Jews' Passover is at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, the sheep and the oxen, poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, and make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. What were they doing down there? They were making money. They made the house of God a business place where they cheated people and robbed them of their monies. Because the only way they could give an offering was to buy the animal that had been purified and meat for the offering. So they set the price and they set the exchange rate and they robbed the people. It's no wonder God couldn't bless the church when he came. No wonder God couldn't bless the Pharisees and the scribes. Because all the sin that they had brought into the house of God. I dare say if God came back today, it would be the exact same way. I'm amazed. I shouldn't be so mean, but I'm going to say it. I get calls every day. They want to put a computer scanner in the back of the church. They said, "Preacher, if you just put that credit card machine in the back of the church, it will increase the tithes 20%. You know why? Because it's easy to swipe your credit card. You make people feel guilty and they swipe their credit card. And you get them socked in debt where they had to file bankruptcy, right? I told that lady, I said, "Listen, I'm tired of you guys calling me. When there's no more cash and there's no more checks, we'll get a credit card machine. But we're not getting one until." He said, "But how can you pass up the money?" I said, "Because we're not in it for the money." Are we in it for the money? If I'm a CEO and this is a business, then we might be in it for the money. But I'm not a CEO, I'm a pastor, and this is a church. And as long as I'm pastor, it's going to stay that way. And I just think to myself, I just shake my head. I said, "Does nobody read the Bible anymore to know that that's evil and that's wrong?" You see, sin's got to get cast out. If God's going to open the windows of heaven, we got to get the sin out. We got to begin obeying Christ's command. Obeying Christ's command. And in John 14, this is what Jesus said. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Judas saith to him, "Not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and saith to him, "If any man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." Brother John said, "Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God." He said, "Brother Chris, why do you preach?" Because that's how you build faith in people's life. People say, "Can't we just be entertained for 30 minutes or an hour and then go home?" The problem there is the word entertainment. If you come to be entertained, then something's missing. I don't come to church to be entertained. I come to church to be inspired. I come to church to be convicted. I come to church to be challenged. I come to church to hear what God has for me. You know, I used to, when I wasn't the preacher, I'd go home and pray and say, "Now, God, give the preacher a message for me that will convict my heart and show me what I need." Sometimes I need my toes stomped on. I said, "Boy, that didn't feel good." You know, when the preacher's preaching and he's looking around, everybody thinks the preacher's preaching directly to them. And somehow they think, "Well, how did the preacher know that?" Well, the preacher don't know that. God knows that. And I get out the shotgun and shoot it, and then God gets out the sniper rifle and makes it hit your heart. Right? I don't follow people's lives. I don't get on Facebook to see what you're doing. I don't get out, send a private investigator out to see what you're doing during the week. I just dial up heaven every Saturday night and say, "God, what am I supposed to preach tomorrow morning?" And God said, "I want you to preach on that." And I said, "Why that?" He said, don't you worry about it. You just preach on that. And I said, well, okay, I'm going to preach on that. I don't think people are going to like that. And God said, that's my business. You just preach that. I said, okay. Don't shoot the delivery man. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just giving you the message. But see, God's trying to speak to our hearts. And God wants us to obey Him. Whatever happened to this thing of speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And whatever God says, that's what I'm going to do. See, learning to obey Christ is an important thing. What's the great commandment? To love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and have no other gods before me. That's the great commandment. That covers the first four commandments. The second commandment is likened to, it says, to love thy neighbor as thyself. And Luke 10:20 says, if you do those two things, that's more than whole burnt offering. Because loving your neighbor as yourself covers commandment number 5 through commandment number 10, 6 commandments. And if you love God with your whole heart, you love your neighbor as yourself, that's going to take care of 99% of our problems. Because then we're going to be obeying God. The problem is we can't please God in the flesh. We please God by obeying Him and walking in the Spirit. So how do I get the windows of heaven open? You open your heart to Christ. You cast out the offense. You obey His command. And then there's old-fashioned confession of sin. Old-fashioned confession of sin. You know, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Bible says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Let's look on over there and make sure I don't mess up the quote here. But 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, he went on to say this, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You know, every now and then you need to stand and people would stand in the temple in the Old Testament. They say, Lord, I'm a liar. God, I'm a thief. God, I'm an adulterer. God, I'm an idolater. Lord, I have a problem with lust. Lord, I have a problem with hatred. Lord, I have a problem with jealousy. And they would stand and confess their sins. Have you ever read the book of Daniel, Jeremiah, Nehemiah, Isaiah? They begin with confessing their own sins to Almighty God. And God miraculously opens the windows of heaven. The Bible says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. My friend Jim White, and I've told this story, but it's worth repeating this morning because quite a few of you have never heard it. Jim White's with the Lord. He's in heaven. But you'd had to know Jim White. He was a comedian. He was a preacher, a gifted preacher. He'd been a missionary, evangelist, been a pastor. And Brother Jim was you just have to know him. He was a common guy. But he loved Jesus Christ, and he'd preach, and it was powerful. And he was at a meeting one time to preach, and he was just there, and boy, he got under conviction. Now, there's one thing you hardly ever see in the church, and that's a preacher kneeling at the altar confessing his sins, right? We as preachers want everybody to come to the altar, but it's hard to get a preacher to come to the altar and confess their sins. And Brother John was in this big meeting, and my goodness, the preacher was preaching, Brother Jim was so convicted. And the preacher was saying, man, he was preaching, and Jim was so convicted, and he was so ashamed because of his sin. And the Lord said, get on down there now and confess and get things right with me at the altar. And Brother Jim said, I can't go down there. If I go down there, people are going to look at me, and what are they going to think of the preacher going down there for that kind of message? You know, must have been preaching on all kind of terrible things. And he said, I can't go down there. Everybody will know that I got sin in my life. Well, here's a news flash. Everyone in this room has sin in their life. I don't think about nothing when someone goes to the altar. I'm just glad they're down there. So he waited and he waited. And man, the guy made the invitation last forever. Don't you hate when an invitation lasts for 30 verses? And Brother Jim's sitting there and he said, he ain't moving. And the guy said, all right, this is the last verse. And then Brother Jim made a deal with God. He said, all right, he says the last verse. He said, God, if he extends it one more verse, I'll go down there in front of everybody. They sang that last verse, and the preacher said, you know, God just spoke to me and told me to have another verse. And God said, now you better get down there now. And there he went. He's down there. And the preacher's singing another verse, and he comes around. He says, Jim, Brother Jim, is that you? What are you doing here? He says, Brother, I'm trying to get right with God. Just shut up and let me pray. But see, sometimes a preacher needs to get right with God. Is there anybody exempt from getting right with God? Confession is good for what? The soul. Man, I told you, I confessed to the church. I said, man, I had a hard year last year. I did have a hard year last year. Spiritually, it was a hard year for Brother Chris. And my Bible reading suffered, and my prayer suffered, and everything suffered spiritually in my life. And God helped me. You know, like I said, Brother Ron was preaching, and the Lord said, hey, you, sucker, you're not right with God, and you better get right with God. And I did. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I've let things slip in my life. Lord, I'm sorry. I am going to get back with the program here, and I'm going to get back on my knees where I'm supposed to be, and I'm going to be praying like I'm supposed to pray. And with God's witness, I've been praying every day, asking God, interceding for our church family. You say, what? God was trying to speak to me. You say, what do you do? When God's trying to speak to you, you got to confess some things. Sometimes it does good to publicly confess some of our faults and shortcomings and problems. You say, why? Because I want the windows of heaven to be open. I don't know about you. I want God to open the windows. What about offering forgiveness? You know, nothing will close the windows of heaven faster and cut off God's blessing and make the Holy Ghost leave the services than a hateful, unforgiving spirit. We have to forgive one another. We have to accept people's apologies and offer forgiveness where it is due. Matthew chapter 5 makes it very clear. Let me just read it to you. It says, ye have heard that it had been said of old by them of old, that ye shall not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you, who shall be angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. Who shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of counsel. And who shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave thy gift there at the altar, and go thy way, and first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art out in the way, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge deliver the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. We got to be forgiving. I listened to a thing, this lady, and it was sad. It was so sad. This man had killed this lady's son and daughter-in-law. They'd just been married. I think they were on their honeymoon when he killed them. She said, you know, when I pray the Lord's Prayer, I have to stop because I can't recite that part where it says, forgive us our trespasses, we forgive those who trespass. And he says, I cannot forgive, I will not forgive, I will never forgive. Aren't you glad God isn't that way? Did not Jesus say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? I'm telling you right now, you have to forgive. And I don't care what has happened, you have to forgive. Because being unforgiven hurts the person who has no forgiveness. A lady told me, I said, Brother Chris, I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter. And I said, who are you trying to convince, me or you? I said, you are bitter. And when we get bitter, we're putting nails in the window. I don't care what your circumstances are, you have to forgive. Sometimes you got to forgive a husband. Sometimes you got to forgive a wife. Sometimes you got to forgive a child. Sometimes you got to forgive a neighbor. A family member. A fellow co-worker. A Christian in the church. I've seen it. I mean, my goodness, when people can't shake hands in the church, isn't that not a problem? Will that not quench the Spirit and grieve the Spirit of God because there's no forgiveness in people's hearts? There has to be forgiveness. Well, I'm not speaking to them. You're not right with Jesus Christ. Got to be a forgiving spirit. Otherwise, God's going to close the windows. Let me close where we started. You'll look back in Malachi. This is a simple, little, easy one. I'm not going to spend long with it. He said, Brother Chris, this will be the nail in the coffin. I know it. Look what it says. How about honoring God with your money? Honoring God with your money. We're stopping where we started. But notice what he says there in Malachi 3. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, where do we rob thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that I may meet in mine house, and prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Brother Dan's here today, and his dad gone home to be the Lord. Brother Joe would tell me that story about the man who had men had come to him and they said, well, we can't afford to tithe. And he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, you tithe, and if it costs you anything and you lose any money, then the man was wealthy, so I will give you all the money back that you put in the tithe. He said, all you got to do, you tell me if tithing makes you go broke, then I'm a millionaire and I will give you everything you put in the tithe in the church, and if you go broke, I'll repay you, and you won't be out anything. Now, you start tithing and see if God won't bless your life. And if God doesn't bless your life, then I'll pay you back. Brother Joe said, Brother Chris, not one of them men had to come back and say God hadn't blessed them. We gave out the giving receipts today. Everybody's got a giving receipt. If you gave any money and you put it on an envelope, you got a giving receipt. Shows how much you gave for the year. Folks, I'm telling you, people say, well, Brother Chris, why is God? Because we learned to give a long time ago. And it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Amen. You know, and if you can take your gross amount of income and look at your tithe, and if that doesn't equal 10%, you're robbing yourself of a blessing. You're robbing yourself of a blessing. So, well, I gave my time and I gave this. Shut up. We're talking about money. Right? And those are two different things. I think you ought to tithe your time. Hey, there's 24 hours in a day. You know, it wouldn't hurt you to give 2.5 hours to God. It wouldn't hurt you to give to tithe your time to God Almighty. That'd give you a blessing right there. Wouldn't hurt you to tithe on everything that God's given you. And see if God wouldn't bless you more. I tell people, see, the reason I told a person one time, I said, you know why you're so poor? Because you've never learned to give. He said, well, I only bring home $400 a month. Do you think you're going to be any less poor if you give $40? I doubt it. He said, I can't make it on $400. So what's the big deal if you can't make it on $360? At least you obeyed God. My experience has been poor people are poor because they never learned to prove God in anything. God said, prove me herewith and see if I'll not open you the windows of heaven. Deal with some things in your life and see if God won't open the windows of heaven. See if God won't bless you. Open your heart. Cast out the offense. Obey Christ's command. Let there be some old-fashioned confession of sin. Offer forgiveness. And then honor God with what you have and see if God won't bless your life. Let's stand for prayer.